Our study this morning is going to continue in the book of Galatians, and we are at Galatians chapter 5 at this present time. And what the Paul tells the brethren here at Galatians is presents a study. This actually here begins at the latter part of chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 21, and then running through verse 26 of chapter 5. And as you can see by the title on this here, the message of this book is just a message of freedom. This is the fifth lesson in this series on Galatians in this book. This lesson here will focus upon that message, the latter part of chapter 4 and into chapter 5. The message of freedom. We've talked a little bit about that freedom already that Paul has talked about. He talks about liberty over in chapter 2, and we'll reference that here in just as we go through this lesson. But let's look first here at the announcement that Paul gives to these brethren, to these Galatians. He talks of them as being children and has talked about how to become a child of God and how we are children of God by the promise, heirs to that eternal kingdom, heirs to the blessing through Christ. But he talks there in chapter 4, in verse 31, of being free or of a free woman. Verse 31, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of a free woman." The Jews and the Gentiles who believe on the Lord are not subject to the Jewish law, but free. Consequently, delivered from the bondage or their obligation or the curse of the law, as it talks about as well. He uses two terms there, of a handmaid and of a free woman. He proves here by their own scripture, explaining their own allegory, and proves that it is the only Jesus Christ that redemption can be found. Only through Him is redemption. And the analogy that he uses here of a handmaid and a free woman goes back to Genesis, of Abraham's two sons. But read with me here in Galatians, in chapter 4, beginning there in verse 21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son by the free woman is born through promise. Which things contain an allegory? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai bearing children under bondage, which is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that it now is. For she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that hearest not. Break forth the cry, that thou travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." Because of this freedom, he says in this reading, because of this freedom, we have the promise. The promise that made to Abraham that would come about through his son of promise. Hagar was not to bear or to have that son of promise, but through Isaac, through Abraham, the promises would come. Hence verse 30 there. "Wherefore, brethren, we are not of a children of a handmaid, but of a free woman." The promise through Isaac, not through Ishmael, the son of Hagar. Turn back with me here to Genesis chapter 21. And reading here, beginning in verse 12, "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this handmaid and her son, for the son of this handmaid shall not be the heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight on account of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy handmaid. In all that Sarah saith unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." This is the analogy that Paul is using to these Galatians here, of being free through the seed of Abraham. And in Christ, he's already talking about those who are in Christ, those who are of the circumcision or uncircumcision, those who are bond and those who are free. In Christ, he has already alluded to and says that in Christ there is neither circumcision nor or uncircumcision. Verse 6 of chapter 5. "For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love." Under the old law, circumcision was required of every male to be circumcised on the eighth day. Under the law of Christ, that doesn't mean anything. It's not, they're not obligated to follow that law. They're not under bondage to that law, but freed from that law. Again, back in Genesis chapter 17, where it talks about the circumcision of the male. Beginning there in verse 9, it says, "And God said unto Abraham, And as for thee, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee throughout their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and thy seed after thee." And it was a covenant that God had decreed for them to keep. But that covenant was no longer necessary to keep. The promise is through Christ. The promise is in keeping the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. The promises came through the seed of Abraham. And it's not just for Abraham's physical descendants. It is for all generations. It is for all people upon the earth. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. "For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." These Galatians needed to understand that they were, and as he uses language to the Ephesians, they were alienated from God at one time. But through Christ, they are reconciled to God. That gap between, that divide between them and God was closed through Christ. So that they have access to the promises by their obedience to God and His will. These Galatians were to all that were afar off to receive the promise, to have an opportunity to keep or to have that promise. In John chapter 3, there in where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, this ruler comes to Jesus by night, and asks him, talks to him concerning this. And for it's for all those who are born again. Those who are born of the water, of water and of the Spirit. Those who simply to say, some might not understand the reaction there that you give. Those who are born again. The term that you hear so many people use, I'm a born again Christian. Well, what does that mean? That means that simply that you are obedient to Christ and His will, and you have submitted to your will, and you have died to sin, you have been buried, and you have raised again a new creature.
and live faithfully a life in service to God and in His kingdom. Galatians 6 and verse 15 says, we want neither circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Again, that old law of circumcision doesn't matter. It avails nothing. You are now a new creature in Christ. And as we noted, we talked about chapter 3 of the promise. All in Christ and are heirs and can be heirs of the promise. Neither bond nor free, neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. The promise was given back in Genesis of this. Genesis 22 and verse 18 says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. All nations through Abraham's seed. You can be free. There can be freedom. Freedom in this message of the gospel. Freedom in the gospel. John says in John in 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of God's word. The truth will free you from that sin. Free you from that bondage of sin. We'll talk more about that in the instruction and the warning that Paul gives to these Galatians in this as well. But Galatians, he says, realize that you are free. And this gospel is a message of freedom. For you to understand that you are not bound. The Galatians, the Gentiles, were never bound by Moses' law anyway. But these things were being thrust upon them and say, you had to obey this. This is one of the things that Paul dealt with here. That the Jews were trying to bind circumcision on everyone. That to be obedient, to come to God, you had to be circumcised. You had to do these things. And Paul refutes that and says, no, it doesn't mean anything. If it violates your conscience, he talks of Timothy and what not to do. If it violates your conscience, then that's a different thing. But you are not bound to do this thing. You're not bound by the old law. But you're now under this new law. You were called to this law through verse 30 of Genesis or Galatians 4. You were called to this law. You were called to freedom. Chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, for ye brethren were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. Use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh. Let's talk about that for a moment. You hear people say, oh, we're under the grace of God. The grace of God will cover what I do. The grace of God will cover the occasions of the flesh that I have. The sin that I have, the sin that I engage in, the grace of God is going to wipe those away. You are called to freedom. To live a life free from sin. The freedom of the bondage of sin. Rephrase that to that. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Don't use that freedom you have through the gospel and your obedience to it. Don't use that freedom as a reason for you to sin and say, God will cover that. God's got this. Here, he's not gonna overlook that sin. We might state this way. Don't use your freedom as a license to engage and practice sin. That's not what the grace of God is for. That's not what the law does. That's not the kind of freedom that God is talking about, that Paul is talking about to these Galatians either. Remember Galatians chapter 2, where we talked about the liberty that we have in Christ. And in verse 4, because that a false brethren privately brought in, who came to privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to see what this was all about. What this liberty is. What this freedom is. That they might bring us into bondage. Don't let the freedom that you have from the burden of sin, don't let the freedom that has released you from that bondage of sin and being servants of Christ, don't use that as an excuse to sin. Romans 6 and verse 22, we're no longer under bondage. Being made free from sin and become servants to God. You have your fruit unto sanctification and the eternal end, eternal life. We're no longer in bondage. Verses 16, 17, and 18 there of that same chapter talk about that, and we have talked about before. No longer under bondage to sin, but this freedom that we have been called through. Called by Christ, called by God to live free from that bondage. The call comes out. God calls all to come to Him. That all should come to the knowledge of the truth, Paul tells Timothy. That all should come to repentance, Peter talks about. That all, Luke records for us in Acts 17, that all should come to repentance. All are called. This God is calling the souls of the world to come to Him. To be free from that bondage of sin. But there is something that we must do. The call goes out. But we had to answer that call as well. In Matthew chapter 23. Let me turn over to here to my notes. It says 23. On the slide it says 22. 23. Matthew 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. How long have I called you? How long am I going to continue to call you? The call is still going out from when that was written by Matthew. The call is still going out. How long? How long am I going to have to call for those to answer? It's not by some miraculous means that we are freed from the bondage of sin, but by our faith, by our actions, the actions that we take to become free from that bondage, answering the call of God to be free in Christ Jesus. How long will will you wait? How long will you hear the call and not answer? This is a call that we must utter as well. That we must ring out to the world. To those who are lost. We must, through God, through the Word, see that God, let them see that God is calling them to come to Him, to be free. This message, this gospel, is the only thing that is going to call them to that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 16, "But they did not hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Then drop down to verse 21 where he says, "But as to Israel, he saith, all the day long did I spread out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." God is spreading out His hands. He's waiting with open arms. He is calling those who are lost to come to Him. We as this country have an enormous amount of freedom. By the grace of God, by the love of God, we enjoy things that countries can only dream of. That people can only dream of. God has blessed this nation far beyond what it deserves. And we enjoy that freedom. We like those freedoms that we have. People in general like freedom. So why is it so hard to accept, to understand the freedom that God offers through His Son? And I'll be the first to tell you that I don't have the answer to that. And if you do, please share. Getting people to realize that the gospel is a message of freedom. In the sense that God defines freedom. And what freedom He talks about is a hard message to get across to people. God calls us to be free through His Word. A freedom that is much greater. A relief. A burden that is lifted by the freedom that we have in Christ. The chains, the shackles that have been broken when we were once in bondage to sin. Christ has released those by His death on the cross and our faith and obedience to Him. This is the message that Paul is giving to these Galatians, that they are free. They are free in Christ. And what was trying to be bound upon them. That if circumcision did not mean anything. It's not something that they had to be bound by or to. Have you been freed from the bondage of sin? Have you been obedient to God, to His will? If you have not been obedient to Him, under His terms and His conditions that we have talked about in this lesson and many others, by His terms, if you have not been freed from the bondage of sin, you're in danger. Danger of losing your soul and eternity in hell. So why not? Why keep Jesus waiting? He's at the door standing, knocking, wanting to come into your heart, into your life. Won't you let Him? By repenting of your sin, by confessing Him, by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Or as an erring child of God, repent of that sin. Pray to God, ask for His forgiveness. Let Jesus rule in your life. And you will have freedom beyond compare of anything that you know. Won't you come to Him while we stand and while we sing?